The following program is produced in a timeshare agreement with Civic Media. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect those of Civic Media. Enjoy.
Paul, any good Red Lobster news to start the show with this week?
I don't have any Red Lobster news, but I got a lobster joke for you.
Sure, I'll take it.
Okay, here it goes. Why aren't lobsters generous?
Why?
Because they're shellfish.
Shellfish.
It's okay.
Good dad joke.
Yeah, for Father's Day weekend,
Father's
I guess.
Father's Day weekend, yeah. 2024, baby.
Let's go.
In all seriousness, though, this episode of the Wausau Business Show is dedicated to all fathers out there, especially Brian B.C. Carey down in Tampa, Florida. He's about our age, battling brain cancer right now, and he's in hospice. One young son, and so we wish him the best there.
Yeah.
Wish AI could solve that one.
Right.
And also to our own dads.
My dad, James Grinzel. Happy Father's Day, Dad.
Legendary history teacher and department chair at Wausau West High School.
That's right.
And awning guy, 1880, John Harvey Gallagher. Got to do it.
Yep.
Who passed away recently on March 10th of this year. He leaves behind three sons, Ryan John, Nicholas John, Matthew John, and two beautiful daughters, Missy and Jackie, and a dear and loving wife, Barbara.
We miss you, John.
All right. Whew. On that note, love you dads everywhere.
Yep.
Thanks for setting a great example for all of us. And hey, wherever you're going, thanks for listening.
Yeah.
And give heaven some hell, guys.
Happy Father's Day.
Yeah, I believe in when you say you're in a better place. You had a wild side, but you had amazing grace. I know you're way off up in them clouds, but if you could still hear me right now. Crank it loud, hold it down till I get there. And when I do, I hope you got some new stories to tell. Till then, give heaven some hell.
Sometimes you wanna go where everybody knows your name, and they're always glad you came. You wanna be where you can see our troubles are all the same. Everybody knows your name.
You want to be right here in Wausau, Wisconsin, USA.
New York, Paris, Los Angeles, Chicago, Tokyo, and Wausau.
Yeah, boy.
This is the Wausau Business Show with your hosts, Ryan and Paul.
Action-packed Wausau. Again, this is the Wausau Business Show.
And we're open for
and
business.
We are open for business. Episode number 11 from Wisconsin's base camp.
Yeah.
On a mission to get George W. Bush to speak with us.
About the Anthony Hummer portrait of his beautiful wife, former First Lady Laura.
Oh, it's a gorgeous painting. If you haven't seen it, check out our social media on LinkedIn or Facebook.
President Bush has been doing a lot of painting in his retirement, I understand.
Yeah, it's like he paints war veterans with PTSD, post-traumatic stress syndrome, which David Anthony Hummer has a passion for.
Right.
Well, they've got a lot in common, Mr. Bush and David Anthony Hummer.
And he also paints various immigrants to the United States, I understand.
Yeah, he's got books of these things.
Right.
And you can check them out on our website at wausaubusiness.com. We know that Mr. Bush, do you call him president, former president, or Mr. Bush after they leave office?
I think the safest is stick with president.
Okay.
President Bush.
All right.
I think all three would work, though.
Okay. We know that President Bush has been in Kenbunkport, Maine, where they have that house.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been there with Laura. But now, we've talked to his people, he is currently in Barbados.
Of all places.
He wants to get out of that Texas, Dallas, Texas heat, I guess.
Right.
So they're in Barbados for a while now. His office is in the Presidential Library in Dallas, where he spends most of his days working, actually.
Right.
And so we look forward to speaking to former President George W. Bush about Wausau, Wisconsin, USA.
Yeah.
And his painting career, his painting hobby.
Right.
In fact, David Anthony Hummer loves Mr. Bush's paintings and his talent. He really thinks David Anthony Hummer says he's got a lot of talent.
He admires it, yeah.
Saying a lot coming from David Anthony Hummer.
Agreed.
And David has some suggestions for Mr. Bush.
Oh.
Some ways that he may advance and continue to push his painting career forward.
Some artistic advice, if you will.
Yeah, world-class advice.
Yeah, right, right. Nothing to sneeze at.
And so, Mr. Bush, if you're listening, we're bringing David Anthony Hummer with us to Texas in the F-150. We're bringing our rig, our recording gear
right.
to that presidential library, and David's going to come with us and give you all of this unsolicited, complimentary advice.
Another reason to do the interview, Mr. Bush.
To continue to push your fabulous painting career forward.
Right.
Paul, who do we have on the show this week? Paul? Paul?
Yes.
Who do we have? Paul? Are you there?
I'm here. Still here.
Still here, Dad.
Yep.
Right behind you, Dad. Paul, who do we have on the show this week?
I'm super excited to have Scott Wimmer on the show this week. It's going to be great.
His best place in NASCAR was third in the Daytona 500.
I'm looking forward to finding out more about his career and
State Park Speedway.
State Park Speedway, which is where we're going to be on set.
That's where the interview takes place.
And we love that place. And
we love their jingles.
And we especially love their jingles. But Scott is a local legend in racing, for sure.
Goes over 200 miles per hour the last time. That's how fast those NASCARs go.
Right.
Hey, Paul, you know, I know it's summer.
Right.
But NFL football season and the Packers are right around the corner.
Yeah, always on my mind, really.
And wouldn't it be great for Wausau if we could have an interview with Coach Matt LaFleur, head coach of the Green Bay Packers, Wausau's favorite football team?
Absolutely. That gives me goosebumps just thinking of that possibility. How could we arrange that, do you think?
Well, you know, starting quarterback, what was his number back in high school?
12.
I can't believe you remember that. Number 12, Timothy Freiberg.
Oh, QB extraordinaire.
So true. He's still got it, too.
Yeah.
He's still coaching.
I threw the old pigskin around with him a year or two back, and he's got it. That's for sure.
Little zip on it still.
Yeah, yep.
And while he was in college in Northern Michigan, none other than Coach Robert Saleh, head coach of the New York Jets,
right.
was his roommate.
Right.
And they became very close friends. And Coach Saleh is friends with Matt LaFleur.
Let's see if we can get this going.
It's like a Kevin Bacon episode. 6 degrees of separation. So let's call
Tim.
Let's call Tim right now.
Okay.
See if he can hook us up for Wausau. Do it for Wausau, Tim.
Hello.
Tim Freiberg, coach?
This is Tim Freiberg.
Yeah. Hey, it's Ryan and Paul from the Wausau Business Show, obviously. You probably saw us calling on your cell phone. We grew up together. Tim and I went to preschool at Wausau Child Care together, Paul.
Yeah. Wow. You go way back.
Way back. I used to call him Timmy back then.
Timmy. I sometimes still do.
Absolutely. We go way back, all three of us.
That's right.
Awesome. Yeah.
That's right.
Very cool. So, coach, we were just reminiscing about Wausau's favorite football team, the Green Bay Packers, Super Bowl winning organization. And it was brought to our attention, obviously, in more ways than one, that you are personal friends with Matt LaFleur. Is that correct, Coach LaFleur of the Green Bay Packers?
Yeah, I've gotten the chance to know him over the years. Obviously, now that he's the head coach of the Packers, he's a very busy guy, so I don't get to see or talk to him as much as I used to. But yeah, I've known him for a long time, dating back to my college years.
Oh, very cool.
And you guys were roommates, or there's some roommate connection there?
Yeah, so the connection really is my college roommates, one of my college roommates, along with another Wausau great Brad McDonald.
Oh, yeah, legend.
One of my college roommates was Robert Saleh, and Robert is now the head coach of the New York Jets, and still a very good friend of mine still. I talk to him definitely weekly, but I actually got to know Matt through Robert. So when we were in college, Matt was a quarterback for Ferris State, a team in our conference that we played. I played at Northern Michigan. And so we always knew who Matt was. But fast forward a couple years after college, Robert and Matt ended up coaching at Central Michigan together. They didn't really know each other at the time, but they came in together as graduate assistants, lived together, and became very good friends. So that's kind of their connection where it started. And then when Robert started coaching the NFL, every year I would go to a game, go to two games. He was coaching with the Houston Texans at the time. And Matt LaFleur, they were coaching together. Well, I'd end up spending the entire weekend hanging out with those guys, and I got to know Matt really, you know, after college, you know, through Robert Saleh.
Nice. And obviously everybody knows that Coach Saleh is coaching Aaron Rodgers right now.
Aaron Rodgers, yes.
They have that in common, too.
I don't have any dirt on the, you know, Aaron Rodgers. You know, when I talk to Robert, we kind of keep it away from football, to be honest with you. We just kind of talk about the same old, you know, fun stuff, and just we try to keep it away from football. We try to do a good job of being an outlet away from football for him.
Yeah,
so we do not ask him a lot of football follow-up questions, in all honesty.
Yeah, smart. So what are the odds that for Wausau that we could get some time with Matt LaFleur to talk to Wausonians?
Well, I tell you what, I could certainly put a note in, put a message into him, and see if he responds. I know with him, it's about catching him at the right time, thinking about, okay, when might he not have practice or a meeting, which, you know, but I can certainly reach out to you, because I know you guys would have a great interview with him, and I know you'd probably have questions for him outside of football as well, because he gets enough questions about the Green Bay Packers, I'm sure.
For sure.
Yeah, we'd probably conduct it like a town hall, almost like a U.S. presidential debate, where people can call in and ask questions or videotape their questions, and we can take a bunch of questions from Wausonians for Coach LaFleur as well. And we bring our official Wausau Business Show sports sideline Super Bowl reporter, Super Bowl Shea Reif, with us as well.
Yeah.
Well, I think that would be pretty neat.
She's experienced
with her, and then to get a chance to meet him if that could work.
For sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, she's very experienced, knows what she's doing, and she's our official sideline reporter, so she'd have to come with us.
Yep.
All right. Well, I saw her some of her clips from the Super Bowl, and she did an amazing job.
Yeah, she's a talent.
Yeah,
she was awesome out there.
Yeah, so now the other question that we had is, what's this I hear that Paul told me that you were golfing with the son of Bob Uecker?
He's so connected.
Last week, yes.
What the heck? Who are you?
Really, really nice guy.
Cool.
He was actually good college friends with another Wausau guy named Fred Hillman. Mm. And we just all happened to be golfing last Friday, and he was in our group. And kind of the same thing with Coach Sala. Fred asked us not to ask a lot about his dad and baseball.
He specifically asked you
for the first 12 or 13 holes, but then the baseball conversation came up, and
naturally,
it was a lot of fun. Really nice guy. Really nice guy.
Awesome. Well, all right, Tim, we'll talk to you later. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Tim.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys. We'll try to get that interview with Coach LaFleur set up.
Big thank you, man.
Yeah, that's very cool.
All right.
And thanks for listening and loving Wausau, Wisconsin, USA.
Hey, all right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Coach.
Thanks for doing what you guys do.
Oh, our pleasure. Yeah. Our pleasure. It's an honor. Take care.
Nice.
Man, can you imagine if we actually got an interview with Coach LaFleur?
It'd be so great for Wausau.
It would be. And we'd take a lot of questions. info@wausaubusiness.com, or you can call 715-9-WAUSAW if you want to start getting your questions in for Coach LaFleur, because it's starting to sound promising, Paul.
We'll ask as many as we can, so send them in. I mean, I think we got a chat, man.
Yeah, I think we do too. I wonder if he knows anybody from Red Lobster.
Oh, yeah. We could tie it all together.
Maybe he knows George W. Bush somehow, too.
Yeah.
I think if they win the Super Bowl this year, they go to the White House, don't they? Unfortunately, George W. Bush is still not president. Okay, that doesn't work.
We missed it by about 20 years.
Yeah. What would be our first question that we'd ask Coach LaFleur?
I don't know.
Wausau's favorite football team, Coach.
Yeah. What would we ask him? Keep those questions coming in, because we need ideas. I'm going to think hard on this.
It was 4th and 1, and you chose to kick it and not go for it.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I mean, I want to save that one for a little later on in the interview.
All right, but this is going to be the year that the Packers get to the Super Bowl.
Let's go,
baby.
This is the
Wausau Business Show.
The Wausau Business Show.
With Ryan and Paul.
Ryan Gallagher and Paul Grinsell.
The Wausau Business Show.
When the internet said Red Lobster's going away, Boy Flavor Flav said, not today. Crab Fest is here, boy, and they got two flavors, just like me. Flavor Flav, we got roasted garlic and new Cajun butter. Getting the most bona fide comeback yet. The comeback you'll be coming back for. It's Crab Fest at Red Lobster, boy. When you gotta have seafood, you gotta have Red Lobster.
Broadcasting from the heart of downtown Wausau, this is the Wausau Business Show with Ryan and Paul.
The Wausau Business Show.
So I remember when we were driving in your car. Speed so fast, it felt like I was drunk. City lights lay out before us, and your arm felt nice wrapped around my shoulder. And I had a feeling that someone.
Welcome back to the Wausau Business Show. Right now we have Scott Wimmer with us.
Yeah, welcome, Scott.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah. Number 25, number 23, number 22, and number 29.
Among others, I think, right?
Yeah, over the years, you drive for different car owners and stuff, so you end up
having a lot of different numbers.
Yeah. So what was it in Wisconsin when you were coming up?
So growing up, I was always 25 when I downhill skied.
Okay.
And that was after my uncle, Larry Degens, who was a racer around the state. And he passed away in 81. And I just always had that number, whether it was downhill skiing or racing off-road, three-wheelers, motorcycles. And then when I got into stock car racing, just kind of followed me there.
Were you guys close? Was he a big influence on you? Or
I was 5 when he passed away, but I remember going to all his races. Him and my dad were really, really good friends and did a lot of things together. So I think that's kind of, or I know that's what got us into the sport. After he passed away, we took a pretty long break.
Okay.
I was doing a lot of downhill skiing, a lot of three-wheeling and motorcycle racing and things like that.
Yeah.
And my mom just got sick of me breaking my legs and arms. And
I want you to have a motor, yeah, not skis.
We just always, you know, always enjoyed doing that type of stuff. So, you know, me and my dad came out here. I think I was 14 years old.
And by here, you mean we're at State Park Speedway right now in the bar.
Yeah, this is awesome. Came out here when I was 14 years old, and my dad saw a friend that was racing. We went down and talked to him, and we got a car, and then we started.
When you were 14?
Yeah, I think I ran a few races when I was 14, but really mainly I started when I was 15 years old.
How does that relate to having a driver's license? Obviously, you don't need one to do these races.
Right. No, you know, it's funny. You don't have to have a driver's license to race.
It's like a go-kart, right?
Yeah. The one thing I had to do, and things have changed. You know, nowadays, there's kids running that are 11, 12 years old.
Wow.
I had to have a special waiver from the insurance company, but that was really the only thing we had to do. I know one track up north, Tomahawk, they didn't know I wasn't 16. So we would get real close to the racetrack, and my dad would have me drive the hauler in.
So you looked like you were 16?
So I looked like I was 16, but I think that was the only track that we did that at. All the other ones, I got a waiver to race at.
So you start racing at State Park Speedway. You guys, when did you buy this track?
We bought it in 2010.
Okay, because it was dormant for a few years before you guys bought it, right?
It wasn't. Todd Hendrick actually ended up taking it over, and I think he ran it for about 3 years.
Okay.
And, you know, just got to the point when we took the track over, there was a lot of repairs that needed to be done.
Yeah.
Just to have an event out here. So I think Todd was at the point where how much money do you put into a place? So we ended up buying it in 2010, you know, stuck the necessary things in to keep it running. And, you know, here 14, it doesn't seem like it's been 14 years.
Blink of an eye, right?
It's been that long.
Yeah. You've kept race fans around here very happy for 14 years. People love it out here.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, the history of this racetrack, I've been coming here for as long as I can remember. But you start looking back at when it started, and it was a dirt track, and then it went to asphalt. Then Phil Bickley, the original, one of the real founders of this place, I think he's been promoting races here since the 69 or 70. So.
And what made him want to start the track?
I think it was just a group of friends. How it originally started was the neighbor right next door, Mr. Holtz. It was a farm field.
Okay.
And they would come out here, Dave Marcus and Marlon Walbeck and a bunch of guys from the area. And they'd just come out here on Sundays and race.
Right.
And then people started turning out, people started watching, then they, you know, added food and
if you build it, they will come.
Yeah. So yeah.
Field of Dreams.
Yeah.
It's a pretty neat history.
Very cool. Yeah. I mean, I grew up listening every Thursday night to the sound of those cars going around the track.
Yeah.
And I would go to bed on Thursday nights. And if that wasn't the sound that I heard, I wouldn't be able to sleep. I mean, it like literally put me to sleep. It was awesome. And then, you know, coming here and smelling the smells,
right,
is, if you've never been here, literally the rubber is really cool. So Scott, where would you say your need for speed originates from?
I don't know. I have an older brother, and I had an older sister, and then a younger brother, Chris, but it always seems like that middle child is always competing.
Yeah.
And my older brother was an awesome ski racer, football player, baseball, you named it.
You guys all went to West?
Yeah, he was just a great athlete. Yeah. My sister was a phenomenal skier. My cousin, you know, so I think I was always trying to compete with them.
Okay.
Right.
And they were quite a bit older than me, but, you know, you had to keep up. So, you know, I'm very fortunate. My family is amazing, and they push you. And they want you to be better. They want you to be the best you can. And, you know, so I just grew up competing. You know, downhill ski racing was our family's major sport for forever.
Obviously, it had a big influence on you.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, my cousin, actually, she moved away and went to Romark Ski Academy out in Oregon. And I got the chance to compete in the Junior Olympics when I was 14. So, you know, we had a lot of really cool memories about that.
Yeah, so you were competing at a very high level early on, and that just kind of segued into your success in NASCAR then, obviously.
Yeah, you know, I started skiing when I was 3.
Yeah.
And I started racing when I was 5. And it was really the people that put the programs together at, you know, now Granite Peak, but Red Mountain back in the day.
Yeah.
My dad was very instrumental in that with the high school championships and things like that.
He must have been friends with Dave Grable then. Huh?
Oh, yeah. Very good friends with the Grables. Yeah. And, you know, if those people wouldn't have put it in place, we wouldn't have had a place to ski race and, you know, ultimately do the things that we did. So you know, I think WASA in general, for a community standpoint like that, is very lucky to have those people.
For Agreed, sure. Yeah. Yeah. Your dad's an icon of the community. So then at what point did you transition into take the leap to NASCAR? Can you talk about that transition a little bit?
Yeah. So I graduated back in 94 and I was running just short tracks around the state. My dad owned the car. I worked on and built them, maintained them, and was always trying to get to the next level. And we would do well. I don't think we did great, but you know, we had a lot of success in weekly night stuff. When we went to the bigger races, it was a little tough, but I moved down to Milwaukee in the late 90s and was working down there, still racing.
In Milwaukee, were you on Road America, like that track? Is that what brought you down to Milwaukee, or was it a different track?
No, I was just working for a gentleman down there building race cars. I worked for this family. They wanted to start racing. So I was building cars, maintaining cars for them.
As a mechanic.
As a mechanic,
cool.
Yeah. And then didn't think I was going to go anywhere. So I came back home, was working for the construction company. Me and dad built a car and we went out and won our first two races with it, which were national televised 300 lap races. They were really big races back in the day, the ASA series. And that's kind of what, you know, happened. All of a sudden I was getting calls from car owners to come and try out NASCAR, come and test for them and things like that.
So they kind of changed overnight, right? I mean, it sounds like
I mean,
those two races and then all of a sudden
they found you.
Yep, they found me. It was really about a 2 week period.
Wow.
I remember I was working in my shop trying to get ready for the next race, and a representative from Roush Racing called me. They wanted me to go over to Michigan and drive a truck over there. So I went over there, drove a truck, came back home, worked on my stuff, went to the next race. And then I had a couple Busch teams, the Xfinity series now, call me, went and met with them, went and tested, and ultimately ended up signing with Bill Davis for the 2001 season. So,
and then you raced until right around 2011?
Yeah, I think I ran my last race like in 12 or maybe 14. I ran my last cup race, I think, at Loudoun, New Hampshire that year. But
You had some good finishes. I mean, top 25, right?
Well, in the Busch series, we ran really well. I won 6 times in that series.
Right.
Me and Jeff Burton split a car back in 2007. We ended up winning the owner's championship that year. Me personally, I think my best points finish was 3rd.
Nice.
When I ran the whole season. Cup series, I didn't have quite as good luck. I ran 3rd in the Daytona 500 in 2004.
How fast are you going at that point?
Oh, back then, the cars, I think, are pretty close to the same, but I think we were well over 200 in the draft. Jeez. By yourself, you're probably 193, 194.
Yeah, so when you're drafting, you go, it gives you about, what, 10 miles an hour?
Yeah, I would say.
Okay.
Yeah, I read about that. So, you know, never had the success in the Cup Series that I wanted to have personally.
Right.
But I was never really with the right team. The first team I went, started driving for, Bill Davis, we lost all our manufacturer support. We were a single car team, had no teammates. So for my first run in the Cup Series, I didn't have a lot to lean on.
That's tough.
You know, and ran for some smaller teams after that before I just stepped down and ran the Busch Series and the Xfinity Series.
And then you only get paid, how does that work with compensation? You just get paid if you win, or you get paid otherwise, or how does that work compensation-wise?
It varies. Drivers vary from team to the team. Drivers, drivers. You know, I always was paid based on the race, whether I started it. You know, so we always had some money coming in. I didn't want to go to the race and say, well, if you've got to finish in the top five to get paid. I'm like, well, that's, you know, what if you wreck out and it's not your fault or something like that. So
take a walk.
But I think a lot has changed over the years since I've been out of it. A lot of it's based on sponsorship. You know, if you have a good sponsor, you can get a base salary plus a percentage of the winnings and things like that.
Do you get a percentage of the draw of the audience then too? Is that how that works? Or
Really, the team sign a contract with NASCAR.
Okay.
And I think they get revenue sharing from NASCAR, from the TV rights, and probably some from the racetracks. I'm not 100% sure on that.
What's your favorite track to race?
Oh, on the NASCAR circuit? Yeah. You know, I really like the short tracks. I just grew up racing on them. So I love places like Richmond, Dover. We raced at the new Nashville Speedway, which I wouldn't classify that as a short track, but that was a really nice track too.
What makes them special to you?
I think they just remind you of something when you grew up.
Oh, okay.
You know, Richmond reminded me a lot of Kaukauna Speedway here in Wisconsin, and Bristol, you know, was kind of like Slinger Speedway. So I think you just always kind of relate it back to what you grew up racing.
Very cool.
Crowd size have anything to do with whether you like it or not, or indifferent to that?
Oh yeah, that was everything.
Yeah, okay.
You know, and me and my wife still talk about it, but I remember being at, well, the Daytona 500, and I think there was 250,000 people in 2004.
That's a hell of an event.
Yeah.
And we were at the Brickyard at Indianapolis Motor Speedway, I think in 04 or 05, and they shut the gates down. There were so many people there. And I remember we were sitting on the front stretch before the race, just looking at it in awe.
Yeah.
You know, that was in Bristol, it was always sold out. These tracks are always sold out that we went to. So it was unbelievable seeing the people there.
What's it like standing there with your wife, looking at the crowd of people? Everybody's going nuts. You know, I know the crowds are intense. They're just fired up and ready to go, obviously. And you're thinking about like where you came from in Wausau, Wisconsin, USA. You know, what's that perspective like?
It was something. I mean, it's just something you never thought you would experience.
Yeah.
You know, I think our county where Wausau is in, Marathon County, is the largest county in the state.
Right.
And we're like 130,000 people.
Right. Yeah.
And I was going to tracks where it was almost double that. So, it's neat. You know, it was really enjoyable. It was a lot of work. You know, a lot of times people say, well, you got to travel all over the United States. We were stuck at the track. We didn't get to really leave outside of that. And if we did, it was just for dinner real quick. So, you know, I enjoyed it. It was fun. Had a lot of good memories. Met a lot of great people. And I think that's the biggest thing is you meet these people and, you know, you just never forget that.
How or why did you end up hanging it up?
I never really retired or hung it up.
Okay.
I just couldn't find a ride that I felt like I could compete with. Okay. And I had a son that was, I think, 5 or 6 years old at the time. And, you know, he was getting into baseball and football and all the things that kids do. And I just decided that if I couldn't find a really competitive ride, that I'd just rather not do it.
Mm-hmm.
I bounced around for a few years trying to spot and worked on some teams and things like that. And it just really didn't fit what I wanted to do. So,
do you miss it every day?
I do. You know, people ask me, I miss really the team aspect of it. I miss going to the track and preparing and trying to get ready for a race. That was always what really interested me.
But you think about it every single day.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't think that'll ever go away. And it doesn't matter if it's business or life or whatever. You're always planning and trying to figure out how to do it better, faster, neater, or something like that.
Do you consider yourself an adrenaline junkie, obviously, then? Or
I don't know. I just slowed down a lot. I hardly ski anymore. I think the last time I skied was probably 8 years ago.
So it's not all gas, no brake anymore?
Yeah. No, they keep badgering me to get back in a car, and I'll jump in a car. We have practices out here on Tuesday nights, and once in a while, I'll jump in somebody's car and go out there and
teach them a lesson. Or?
Yeah. you know, but it takes a little bit. Once you don't do it, you know, it was for 25 years of my life. That's all I was doing. And then you take take 4 or 5 years off, it takes a little bit to get back going.
That's super cool and wild. What was your favorite pit stop of all time? Any memorable pits?
Yeah, I've had a ton of those.
Any particular ones stick out?
Well, it actually goes back to when I was younger. We were running a race down in Chicago, and my best friend, Flip Merwin, was changing tires for me.
God rest his soul.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And we came in for a pit stop. I think I was running like in the top five. We came in, he came over the radio. He's like, I didn't get all the lug nuts tight. And I'm like, I said, well, I'm not pitting. He goes, you got to come back in. He goes, what if your tire falls off? I go, then it falls off. Well, we ended up finishing the race. I ran second, and we only had 3 lug nuts on. He didn't get them all tight.
But... Well, knowing Flip, he would have been joking about that.
Yeah. Well, he was always so nervous. And then he went over to my dad, and my dad's like, if he wants to stay out, let him stay out.
Who were you talking? I mean, were you talking to Flip the most when you were racing then? I mean, when you were actually on the track racing the race?
Between my spotter and my crew, I didn't talk a whole lot on the radio. Some guys talk a lot.
Yeah.
My dad had a radio. My spotter, which was my mom, she had a radio, and then a couple of the crew guys. But
what's your mom telling you during that?
Be safe, honey.
Yeah, she was really good at spotting for a long time. And actually, when my little brother started racing, she went over and started spotting for my little brother. And just giving you information. That's all you ask for. If track's changing, if a car slow or a car you got to watch out for. I mean, that's really what a spotter is.
Talented family. Yeah. You got everyone involved.
What wreck stands out to you the most?
I flipped down at Daytona in 2005. I didn't think it hurt me. And then looking back now that I'm getting a little bit older, it did hurt me pretty good. I had probably the worst wreck I ever had was at State Park Speedway here back, I think it was 91. I spun out into the corner and a guy hit me in the door and a piece of metal came through and ripped the bottom of my leg off.
Oh, man.
And, just this little track, you can have accidents like that.
What corner?
Actually, it was in 3 and 4.
Oh, wow. Who was your, who'd you say as you're coming up was your idol?
I always looked up to my uncle. Basically, I remember a little bit of going to the races when I was young with him. And then it was just the guys around Wisconsin here. You had Dick Trickle.
Oh, I was waiting for that to come up.
Yeah, yeah. Marv Marzufka and Tom Reffner. And I mean, the list is so long.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. But what those guys did for racing and how they raced and who they are, they all, when we got out of the sport, when my uncle passed away, we were out for about 10 years. And then we came back and those guys were the first ones helping me because they remember my dad, my uncle and all that. And just unbelievable
super
people.
Cool.
Who do you respect most racing these days?
I don't follow it probably as much as I should.
All right. Interesting.
I've got, Harvick. I was a teammate of his back in 2007 and 8 at Richard Childress Racing. What he did, his career was phenomenal. A great person, not only for NASCAR, but away from the track, too.
Yeah.
Had a lot of respect for him. And a lot of the older drivers, the Labonte family, Terry and Bobby, just phenomenal people. And Kenny Schrader. He was an amazing guy too. So I had a lot of respect for the guys when I was racing.
Yeah.
The newer ones, I don't really know a whole lot anymore.
They're all punks. Yeah. Young punks. And NASCAR, correct me if I'm wrong, but NASCAR grew out of Prohibition, did it not?
Basically it was started in that era of moonshining and guys had souped up cars, so they took them to the track and raced.
Yeah, running because they were running alcohol all over the place, Yeah, that's so funny and cool.
They had to learn how to drive fast as a result.
Yeah. We are at State Park Speedway right now with Scott Wimmer, number 25, 23, 22, and 29 throughout his career, among others. And this bar, you guys must have put a lot of money into this bar when you bought it, right?
Yeah, definitely. This was just an old shed. I think they had trucks backed in here. And we kind of renovated in this. And it was really for memories. We put all the pictures in the bar tops.
Yeah, so
and
cool.
Yeah. A lot of old sheet metal and things like that. And people enjoy it, even when we're not open. If we're out here working, people will come and just mingle through and look at all the old pictures.
Yeah, the old pictures are under, I guess, what would I call this? Not laminate, but...
We just threw some epoxy over it.
Yeah, epoxy, okay. Yeah, these, and where's this wood from?
A friend of mine did all the work in here. I don't even know where he got it. I would assume it was somewhere in town, but he was amazing. He had some great ideas, and he actually built Wasa Mine. If you've ever been in there, that's kind of a
similar feel.
It does. He's the one that put Sturgill on the bar stool or whatever that guy's name is.
So he did a lot of neat things out here, and we appreciate all his hard work.
If you haven't seen this place, you got to come out and check it out. And during race nights, I guess I'd say this place is packed. It's got a great vibe to it. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. What's the short bus for out there? What's the name of that bus that you took the picture of, Paul? It's like the State Park Speedway bus.
Shuttle bus?
Yeah. When was that in existence? It looks like it's been a few years since that's been used. But.
Yeah, it has.
There it is.
We bought that one of the maybe the first or second year we started running the place here, and we would go to the hotels and pick up people. Cool. And then we had a couple bars on the list too, so we would run around, pick up fans to come out here. And you know, it just got difficult to find a driver.
Yeah.
And then some people wanted to stay way later than other people.
And then insurance.
Yeah. And then you're running the bus, you know, almost like a taxi cab. Yeah, it's like, maybe this isn't such a good idea anymore.
Yeah. The lawyers get involved. Too much liability.
Can you take a left here and to pick up some groceries?
Yeah, right. Yeah. I still remember when Richard Marx and REO Speedwagon were here.
Oh, yeah. The old concert days.
Were you at that show?
I was. There was, you know, the Beach Boys were here.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've always talked about trying to do stuff like that and bring it back. But there's so much permitting and different avenues you have to go through. So it's kind of difficult to bring all that stuff back.
But I'm sure it was as loud, if not louder, than the actual races themselves.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing how the noise will echo off the mountain. You know, concerts all night long, they were pretty loud.
Yeah. Richard Marx, REO Speedwagon, and then the Beach Boys. Those were iconic concerts here at State Park Speedway.
It's a great venue for it. When was the last time there was a concert here?
I'm guessing back in the 80s.
Yeah, before your ownership, for sure, obviously, right? So, Scott, what's the deal with the Wausau Business rumor that you guys are selling this place?
Yeah, it's, I think we just looked at it as a business decision. You know, the track has been here for so long, and just starting to look at the updates we're going to have to do to make it successful. Like I said earlier, I'm always trying to do things better and nicer and cleaner.
Right.
And, you know, my father's age and just where he's at in life, it just kind of was a point where how much do we want to stick into this place?
Yeah.
You know, we made the tough decision to this is going to be our last year this year, us personally running the racetrack. I don't know if the future holds a racetrack. My gut feeling, it doesn't. I just think the land, the value of the land's probably too high for that. But, you know, if the right person comes along and buys it, maybe they want to keep it. You know, I want to be real open with all the improvements that have to be done.
Yeah. Roughly ballpark, how much of it would it cost to do the improvements necessary to get it up to where it needs to be?
Well, you know, I was looking at it as I wanted to make it really a spectacular place.
Yeah,
I was talking millions.
Yeah.
My dad about choked over that. You know, but the thing we have here is we're kind of landlocked. Mm-hmm. We can't make the track any bigger.
Right.
We've got a pond on the one side. The other side, we have our pit area, and we really can't go much farther. We're going to be into a pond too.
Yeah.
Our parking's limited. You know, we bought all the land we can around here and are using every inch of it we can. So
yeah, and they're parked on NN. Up and down on Thursday nights.
A lot overflows every Thursday night.
Right.
Yeah. So it's, you know, if you were going to build a racetrack, I don't know if this would be the perfect spot to build one.
Right. It just happened organically.
Yeah.
Right. So.
All right. Well, is it sold or is it for sale? Or is it under contract or?
I'm not 100% sure on that. You know, I kind of got with the task of, you know, okay, this is going to be our last year and we'll figure all that stuff out. I know there has been a lot of interest, not this year or it's been several years. There's been a lot of interest on what we're doing out here, what's going to happen.
From developers or?
Yeah, developers. There's been a lot of different people reaching out to us, you know, with different ideas, different things. I think ultimately, whatever is going to happen out here, I kind of want to have a part in it.
Yeah.
Because, you know,
equity,
frankly,
you mean?
Well, or just, you know, this place got a lot of personal, you know, I've been coming out here since I was born. So
a lot of people have,
There's things I don't want to see done. There's things I'd like to see done. So
you'd like a little input in.
Yeah, I think I hopefully can be part of the next chapter of this place, whatever it turns out being. But you know, sometimes that can happen. But
cool, if you had a magic wand, what would it become?
I don't know. I think, you know, it's beautiful out here.
Yeah.
It's beautiful land. I'd like to see it something for the area, for the community. I think it's an unutilized property. The racetrack only sits on about, I think, 15, maybe 20 acres, mm-hmm. and we have 52 total. So it does go up the mountain quite a ways.
Wow, that's a lot of land.
Yeah, that's not really getting utilized. So
does it butt up against state property then?
Yep, we're on two sides. I think we're on the state land. So the east side of the property is on the state land and the south side.
Okay. And if somebody has any questions about that, who do they contact?
Probably my brother. He's a realtor. Oh. So he'd have all the questions or all the answers.
Tim?
Yeah, Tim.
Yeah. Tim Wimmer.
Tim Wimmer. He's a realtor that kind of handles all our stuff. But
what real estate company is he with? Aligned with?
He is on his own, and then he is also with Remax.
Remax. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, that's what I was going for. Yeah. Wow. That is going to be the end of an era. That's for sure. Speaking of eras, any idea where that State Park Speedway jingle is from, like the 90s? Feeling great in 90s. Yeah, have a good time. State Park Speedway.
Iconic.
Yeah. There was a lot of them over the years.
Yeah. Who's got those? How can we get those?
I think my brother's wife might, Jana.
Oh, okay. I know her. I'll ask her about that.
And she was trying to come up with one for this year.
Okay.
So maybe you guys could help her with that.
For sure.
You
know? We'd love to be honored.
Great honor. Yes.
They had a couple things they were kicking around. I think Sad to Shut the Door in 24. So they had a lot of different things they were.
Sad to Shut the Door. In 24. Have a great time.
So, but we were, we're so based on high school employees and helpers out mm-hmm. here and stuff. So we don't really ramp up, you know. I think we have a race the next week, and then we start ramping up for the summer once we get our work staff here.
Yeah. And what do you do to occupy yourself nowadays?
A little bit of everything. I've been in the construction business my whole life with my father. So I started a HVAC company, Perfect Indoor Comfort, about 6 years ago. You know, I've got land developments and you name it. We do it. We just keep ourselves really busy.
Yeah. Your dad used to own the Rimone Travel Center.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Fond memories there.
A lot of property over there and a lot of development. You know, he owned the travel center, and then me and him tore it down.
Okay.
And then we built Dick's Sporting Goods and Red Robin. And he's still got our old shops down the street where his construction company is at. That's where I work out of. And my little brother was working out of there up until this year. So we still got a lot of ties to this area.
Scott, any special events out at the track this season we can look forward to?
Yeah, we definitely do. We always have had, since we've opened or took over the track in 2010, had three memorial races. One was for my really good friend, Flip Merwin, which that'll be coming up here in the next few weeks. We have the Larry Deegans Memorial, which is after my uncle, and then Wayne Lodi Memorial, which is, I think, in August. And then the last race of the year, it's kind of a tribute to Phil Bickley. I think this is his 55th year of being at the racetrack. So the final race of the year, we're having a big show for him. A bunch of different cars are coming in. It's going to be a really neat event. And then afterwards, we're going to have our awards banquet right after that. All the fans can participate and join in and just make a big party that last race of the year.
Yeah, you think Weinkopf's going to take it this year again, or who's going to take it?
I don't know. Mondike was really fast the first super race we had. But Weinkopf's are good racers. Yeah. I grew up racing with those guys. A lot of people don't know that. Chris Weinkopf bought one of my first race cars from me.
Interesting.
Yeah. So we go way back. I'd like to see those guys. I think they've been out here almost as long as I have. So it'd be nice to see them run well and maybe, you know, get that last one.
Yeah. What do they win again? What's the purse?
It depends.
Do they call it a purse?
Yeah. They still call it a purse. Okay. Our special events, they'll jack the purses up a little bit for that. The Deegans race they're working on right now, I think that's going to pay. I know it's $2,500 to win minimum, but I think they're putting like $25,000 into the purse. So that a purse will be really good. Weekly night, I think it's $1,000.
Nice. Yeah, that's no joke. All right. In conclusion here then, favorite race when you were getting ready to race, getting amped up, favorite song that you'd listen to?
Oh, back in the day, I can't even remember I didn't listen to a lot of music back then. I was just kind of focused in on other stuff. Yeah. But my little brother, he and some of his friends were really big into heavy metal.
Okay.
And I was too, I kind of listened to everything.
How heavy?
Lamb of God.
Oh, like Death Rock? Death Rock?
Yeah, they were a band. They were out of Richmond, Virginia. Actually had them at a race one time with us. And I went to a couple of their concerts. Yeah. They were a lot of fun. So, but that music will get you up there. They're screaming and loud.
Do you want to be jacked up when the race starts, or do you want to be calm and collected?
Hey, listen to some Sade.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. I think it goes back to the venue. You know, if you go to Bristol and it's a tight half mile with 200,000 people there, you're jacked up. Yeah, you're ready to go. You know, you go to some of the bigger tracks, you probably want to be a little more calm than really amped up.
What's the grade? Is every track the same grade?
No, they're different. You know, Bristol, I think the corners there are at 32 degrees. Okay. And then, you know, Michigan's probably at 17 or 18.
Okay, so it is different.
Yeah.
Okay.
We used to race the old Homestead, and that was flatter than flat. You know, there was...
That's got
to
make it harder, right? Or you just do it differently?
It did. It you know, nowadays, they've changed all the tracks and put a lot of banking in, and I think it's taken a lot away from racing. Mm. Phoenix was really flat, really challenging track, so you really had to work on your car. You had to have a good team and crew, and, you know, now it just seems like all the tracks are, you know, banked and kind of the same, and you just hold it wide open all the way around.
Yeah.
Back in the day, we used to have to lift and use the brakes and...
Yeah, there was a little more of an art to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I noticed you pulled up in... that's not an F-150. It's a Chevy or something, right?
Oh, yeah. That's one of my work trucks.
And okay.
Got a 250.
What do you drive for fun these days?
Not much. My son's 18.
Fast?
No, nothing fast.
No 200 miles an hour? Yeah.
No, my son, he's like, you don't have a cool car. I'm like, no, I still have a dirt bike. I've got a 450 Honda dirt bike and snowmobiles and things like that. So, but for street cars, no, I got a work van and I got a work pickup. And
so the last time you were taking something over 200 or even close was back in like 2012?
Yeah. Well, I did. I actually did a lot of testing for GM after I wasn't driving anymore. So I go out to the desert and do some things out there. So, you know, that was probably up till 2016.
Like
maybe.
Testing GM's motors and things like that?
Yeah, motors and their cup cars out there and things like that.
That sounds pretty cool. Yeah.
I think I did that for about 5 years.
Oh, yeah.
Would just spend a week out in a desert driving in a circle.
If you had to get any car right now, what would it be?
I don't know. I was always partial on Camaros. I just love them. And
classic.
I've been actually looking at that. Maybe redo one myself.
Cool. What are your thoughts about Tesla?
Tesla, I don't know much about them. They look neat, and then you can't really hear them.
Have you ever driven one?
No, I haven't.
Fast. I'd like to get your feedback after driving one. NASCAR racer and a Tesla.
Yeah.
I've had the privilege of getting behind the wheel of a Tesla before. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, and a lot of times they'll tell you to put your head back. All right, last question. Favorite racing movie of all time?
You know, probably Six Pack with Kenny Rogers.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I love that. For some reason, I love that movie. And I still pull it up to this day and watch it, you know, every few months. I like Kenny Rogers.
Yeah, that's
awesome. Thought he did a great job in the movie.
That is awesome.
It kind of, you know, was the dirt track guy going to NASCAR.
That's awesome.
I think he started a family and all that, and that got in there. It was just a great movie.
Yeah. That is fantastic. And what's your favorite thing to do, like, on a weekend in Wausau?
You know, my son's really into hockey. So he's been playing hockey ever since we moved back up here in 2012. Mm-hmm. And last year played out in New Jersey. So we were traveling out there to watch Milan. I really enjoyed that sport. I played when I was younger. I never played. We were just rink rats down at the fire station.
I remember that. Yeah.
And so I just really enjoyed it. I was always skiing and they wouldn't let me ski and play hockey. I had to choose. And I was better at skiing. So that's the path I went. But I enjoy watching him play hockey. And my nieces and nephews are grown up. I like watching them play sports. But ultimately, you can't get to it all. But
Can't get to it all. Nor can we, unfortunately.
Right.
But this has been wonderful hanging out with you. And you've got a great family. And tell them all we said hello. And thanks for spending time with us. And you got to know when to hold them and know when to fold them, in the words of Kenny Rogers.
Right.
So thanks for coming on the Wausau Business Show, Scott Wimmer. And thanks for all you do for Wausau. Appreciate it. Scott Wimmer, number 25, 23, 22, and 29.
Thanks, Scott.
Thank you.
The place to play in Y2K. Have a good time. Every Thursday you're going to find. Have a good time. State Park Speedway. When you're looking for fun, hey, one thing you should know. State Park Speedway is the place you should go.
Don't miss the Hot Lap, sponsored by Pepsi. Tennessee. Time trials at 7, racing at 8, only at State Park Speedway. 2 miles south of Highway 51 in Rib Mountain on Double End North. Time trials at 7, racing at 8, only at State Park Speedway.
The place to play in Y2K. Have a good time. State Park Speedway. State Park Speedway.
Psst, you're tuned in to the Wausau Business Show with Ryan and Paul.
At Rooter Ware, we challenge the notion that sophisticated legal practices only exist in major metropolitan areas. Our team chooses to live and work in communities where many people only vacation or pass through. We enjoy a quality of life and have an excellent work-life balance, while still practicing exciting, challenging law in Wausau, Eau Claire, Green Bay, and Wisconsin Rapids. Since 1920, we've been doing what we want and where we want to do it. Find us at rooterware.com.
What happens when you bank locally? At Incredible Bank, it means your deposits help us invest in your community. Your deposit dollars provide us with the resources to support the local economy and help spark dreams of growth for businesses like your favorite mom and pop shop or your favorite locally owned restaurant. Banking local provides a return on investment you can see every day in the form of a better, more vibrant community. How incredible is that? So, bank local. Bank Incredible. Incredible Bank. Member FDIC.
On a mission to finally get Wausau the Red Lobster we deserve.
Ladies and gentlemen, the cheddar biscuits have arrived. Can I get a round of applause for the cheddar biscuits?
Oh my God!
This is the Wausau Business Show with Ryan and Paul.
Life in the fast lane. Surely make you lose your mind.
All right, so we've got this guy. He's ready to do this Red Lobster tattoo thing because he's so passionate about getting a Red Lobster to Wausau.
He's serious.
And he wants the Red Lobster logo, the Red Lobster name, and under Red Lobster, he wants it to say Wausau.
Great.
So we have on the phone Mark from Marked Up Tattoos. Mark, are you there?
Yes.
How long have you been in business, Mark?
Been in business for over just a year now.
Wow.
Been tattooing in Wausau for the last 15 years.
Wow, congratulations. Congrats on that. Cool Wausau business. You. We appreciate Wausau businesses on the Wausau Business Show. And we understand that you took classes from David Anthony Hummer. Is that correct?
Yes. With oil paint mediums, I have taken classes from David.
Oh, okay. That is amazing. And I'm sure that improves your art as a tattoo artist too, does it not?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, it applies, I would think.
Yeah.
And you're in the, do they still call it the Old Western Village, like where Bruisers used to be?
Yes.
They still call it the Old Western Village?
It is still called the Old Western Village.
All right. We got to spruce that thing up. Maybe call it the new. What's it going to take to call that the new Western Village at one point? Okay. And we also have on the phone another Mark, Marcus Amundsen.
Are we saying that right?
Yes. And it's Amundsen.
Amundsen. Amundsen. Okay. Sorry about that.
Okay. And how many tattoos has Mark from Marked Up Tattoos done for you, Marcus?
There's been a handful.
He has done some tattoos for you already.
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay. So you trust his work, of course.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
And Mark, how many tattoos have you done in general over the course of your career?
Oh, thousands.
Thousands.
That's incredible.
Well, 15 years worth, right?
Yeah. And you get better and better with each one, I'm assuming?
Absolutely.
Cool. Yeah, super cool. And how many other artists are there? Is it just you in Marked Up Tattoos?
It is just me at Marked Up Tattoos.
Yeah, I've always been, you know, a little gun shy in the tattoos. I've come close. I always thought it'd be cool to have a half sleeve or whatever that thing's called.
Yeah. But
never pulled the trigger.
Make that happen.
You're talking to the right guy.
Yeah. Well, if I ever got tattoos at this point, I would do the Post Malone. No, it would be somewhere else.
Right in.
Marcus, do you have any tattoos on your face? Speaking of Post Malone?
Nothing on my face.
Yeah, okay. I know it's a holy ground, but that seems to be the trend these days, is it not, Mark?
It seems to be, but I try to steer people away from that.
Yeah, you don't want to look like Post Malone or Mike Tyson.
Right.
Or be on the hook for their regret.
Yeah. Speaking of which, do you do tattoo removal, Mark, too?
I do not do removal. I do cover-ups, though.
Okay.
Oh, there you go.
Otherwise known as other people's screw-ups?
Maybe not necessarily. A screw-up could just be a bad choice at one point in their life.
Yeah, change their mind a little. Maybe.
A little too much tequila in Mexico one night, for example.
Sure.
Right, yeah.
Do a lot of people come in and they're like, yeah, I was three sheets to the wind and I got a tattoo in Mexico. Has that ever happened?
I've heard the stories, but I haven't heard them in a long time.
Oh, you never had it? Never firsthand, though?
No.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So let's get down to brass tacks here. Marcus has indicated that, kind of reached out, and he has indicated that he is a fan of Red Lobster, Marcus. Is that the case?
I love the biscuits. What can I say?
Us too.
Oh my God. Yeah. They're glorious. There's no other biscuit known to man.
No.
Okay. So when was the last time, Marcus, you were at a Red Lobster? In which location was it?
Be in Green Bay, probably about a year.
No. Yeah. James Deal is the GM over there. We love that location, the Green Bay location
of
Red Lobster.
That's where we took the bus.
We love all the Red Lobster Wisconsin locations in particular. I could list them off, but I won't.
Thank you.
Yeah. The only one that's coming soon, hopefully we pray to God, is Red Lobster Wausau.
That's right.
And in an effort to make that happen, Marcus, you have indicated that you are interested in tattooing the Red Lobster logo with Wausau underneath it onto your body.
Yep.
Wow, that's dedication.
Why not?
Okay, yeah. And how many tattoos do you have total?
I'm fully across my chest, full sleeves, top of one hand. I mean, I got them everywhere.
Cool.
And what do you do for a living? I'm just curious.
I just actually recently left Harley Davidson.
Oh, the Bull Falls one?
Yes.
Oh, cool. And what were you doing there?
I was the lead service writer.
Oh, you must know Ronzo then.
Oh, yeah. I know Ronzo all too well.
Yeah. I know Ronzo. He's great.
Who doesn't know Ronzo?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So where are you thinking about, I love those hogs. Where are you thinking about putting this tattoo?
I think probably like 6 inches above the kneecap.
And how big? Just curious.
It's up to Mark.
Okay. Mark, how big are you thinking about making it? Proportionate to the kneecap or?
Pretty close. Probably be around like 3x3 or 4x4.
This is incredible. I mean, what a way to show your appreciation, your love of Red Lobster, and how badly we all, as Wausaunians,
right,
we voted 1,200 of them, number one by a landslide. Red Lobster was the number one national chain, not local, but national.
Right.
Combination of both. We like our local places
of course.
Well, but this happens to be an obsession. And it's been going on since 2012. It's time to either get off the bed with this thing.
Right. I think, well said.
Enough's enough. One way or the other, right?
Absolutely.
Can I get a hell yeah?
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
Marcus, if this goes well, the tattoo looks great, which I'm sure it will, because Mark does great work.
Yeah. Not only does Mark do great work, but also the logo itself is just
glorious.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Just beautiful.
Right, right. So that, assuming that goes well, would you ever go ahead and let Mark do a depiction of one of those cheddar biscuits for the next one?
Why not? Add it to the lobster.
Okay. All right. Well, how about this? Corporate, if you're listening in Orlando right now, after he gets the logo with the Wausau underneath it of the Red Lobster stuff, if you wind up gracing us with your presence in Wausau, Wisconsin, USA, Marcus will get a tattoo of the cheddar biscuit after that happens.
Love it.
How about that as a deal?
Yes. Fair to me.
Everyone's in.
We like business deals.
Right.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. Now, when are we going to do this? Let's all get our calendars. Let's sync up our calendars, everybody. Get your Outlook out. We'll set a calendar.
I believe we were talking about doing it Monday.
Which would be the 17th.
Can you wait that long, Marcus? That's the question.
Oh, I can.
Great question, Paul.
Thank you. But can you wait
that
long?
The 17th.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I can do it on the 17th.
Okay, what time?
10 o'clock.
Paul, can you do 10 o'clock?
10 o'clock works.
10 o'clock works for me.
I could make 10 o'clock work.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll bring some Wausau Business Show merch.
Yep.
And then we will see you at 10 o'clock on the 17th at Marked Up Tattoos.
Can't wait.
Thanks, guys. Yeah,
I'm looking forward to it.
This could be what puts it over the edge
right,
for Red Lobster to finally realize we as Wausaunians are serious. We'd love to welcome you. The mayor's ready to go. Everybody's ready.
Yeah.
We're waiting to hear from you, Red Lobster. We understand your Chapter 11 stuff. That doesn't mean you're going out of business. You just closed a bunch of restaurants. Cash flow should be much better now.
Yep.
And we're trying to help.
Yep.
We brought a whole bus full of people over there, and we could plan to do it again someday.
We're getting tattoos now.
Now we're getting tattoos. What next? We play your radio ads on the Wausau Business Show, one of the number one podcasts in the United States of America.
Amen.
And
sky's the limit.
The sky's the limit. So, Marcus and Mark, we will see you at Marked Up Tattoos in the old Western Village, soon to be renamed the New Western Village.
Right.
I'm sure there won't be as much of a monk botanical garden blowback if they rename it from old to new.
I'd hope not.
But who knows?
Who knows?
Yeah. And we'll see you soon. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you.
Thanks. Right, take care. Thanks for listening. Well, that was awesome. Looking forward to hearing all about that tattoo. I think that's what it's going to sound like. Hopefully, it's not like nails on a chalkboard to anybody next week when we play the audio of that tattoo.
We'll find out.
Yeah. Do you have any tattoo? You don't have any ink, do you?
No.
I didn't think so.
I think this will be my first time in a tattoo parlor when we go to check it out.
Really?
I think so.
Mm, cool.
Is that what you call it? A tattoo parlor?
Sure.
Okay.
Don't forget the August Kick Bush competition where we kick bush in August in commemoration and in honor of Wausau's first mayor, August Kick Bush.
Right.
151 years ago, August Kick Bush was the mayor of Wausau. And so August 10th on the 400 block, we will be kicking cans of bush because it worked. We experimented. We went out and did the R&D.
It's successful. We can do it.
The inaugural August Kick Bush competition, a celebration of Wausau and August Kick Bush, our first mayor, is coming up August 10th at the 400 block. We'll be taking registrations for that coming up. Brad Emanuel, he's in.
Very excited.
We'll see him this Wednesday at the 400 block.
That's right.
I guess we're going to introduce Brad, from what I understand.
That's what they've asked us to do. We'll do it.
Is that
fun?
Official?
As far as I know, yeah. Okay. We're doing it.
That'll be wild. We will see you at the 400 block this Wednesday then with Brad Emanuel. I think John Altenberg's going to be there too.
Yeah.
And some other people. So that'll be a lot of fun this Wednesday at the 400 block in downtown Wausau, Wisconsin, USA.
Love it.
Wisconsin's base camp. And until then, from high atop Rib Mountain, I'm Ryan.
And I'm Paul.
And this has been a Wausau Business Show transmission.
The end.
Another sleepless night I can't explain. The radio won't let you leave my mind. I know it's over, but I don't know why. I should have known better than to fall in love with you. Now love is just a faded memory.
Das hat BNA Wausau Business Show Transmission. Allreiz Reserve 2024.